Mother of God.
Did you see the latest Nintendo newsletter?
Whoa, nice graphics. I'd like to get my hands on that game.
You mean you haven't played it yet? We can play it on my Nintendo Entertainment System. It's The Legend of Zelda, and it's really rad. Those creatures from Ganon are pretty bad. Octorox, Tektite's levers, too. But with your help, our hero pulls through. Yeah, go, Link. Yeah, get Zelda.
Awesome.
Intense.
The Nintendo Entertainment System. Your parents help you hook it up. The Legend of Zelda sold separately.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm Seaborg.
And I'm Koba.
I played so much in that game. It was nuts.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not going to buy it.
Headshot.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is.
Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio.
Ludicrous kill.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 102. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
This is October 8th, our touchy-feely show.
Is everybody grab your loved one, lay down on the couch and watch it, and we'll be better than Barry White.
That's right, baby. You know you want to play some games. We're going to talk a lot about the Nintendo DS, well, at least as much as we possibly can, because you would not believe how difficult it is to find actual good stuff on the DS games themselves. It seems like because they're small cartridge games or whatever, you get small cartridge size reviews or something. We went looking around for information for this, and we don't get quite as much as we want. This is when a subscription to Nintendo Power would come in really handy, I bet. If you wanted to read about the same Nintendo games all week. In any case.
And lots of propaganda.
Absolutely. Which is always good, though, I think. I like, well, from Nintendo. I like it. I dig Nintendo stuff because they get you all excited about the new Mario games and Zelda games and stuff. Which are fun.
Mm-hmm.
Fun games. Because they're always like mega sequel. Like sequel, this is Zelda 27 and Mario Brothers 48. Which I enjoy. So, the website is hwhq.com. The email for now is c4.gameradio@gmail.com. You could try the real one, gamer@hwhq.com. I need to get that like straightened out, and I'm just simply too busy. Busy. Something like that.
I think it really works, and you just like...
No, I think it does now. I think it really does work now, too. I think it does. So I haven't had a chance to check it out, but I'm pretty sure it does work now. So you can try that, but I don't want anybody like to send like some monster email out and then it doesn't get to us and that would suck like we were having problems before, so I'm like all kinds of afraid, but I hate web-based mail so much. Particularly, I don't like Gmail's layout for everything, so, and you know what, I'm going to get emails, you dumbass, we told you can set that up to work with, you know, your pop client or whatever, and I know, I'm just lazy and I don't want to use it. The IRC is irc.oftc.net. The channel is Gamer, that's the pound symbol, G-A-M-E-R. You can use your favorite client, whatever you happen to like. I prefer XChat. Mm-hmm. You can use MIRC, which is pretty popular for on Windows, but I don't dig that at all. Plus, that guy has a scary little picture of his head the About box.
There's also the one that I'm going to kick myself as soon as I hear it. That does it all, like the...
Trillion?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't use that either. Like, I use Trillion, but just not for IRC. Because, like, XChat is the cat's pajamas.
Cat's meow.
Whatever. Let's see, as far as email goes, this ties perfectly into the show. The bee's knees. That's right. Two emails about the DS, which is awesome, because I really, really, really have been excited about these portable games lately, and I don't know why, because I usually don't play them very much. I usually don't have a whole lot of time. And then it came to my attention today that one of the people that I work with, right, he does in-home computer repair. While he's doing things that take a while, let's say formatting a hard drive, installing Windows, running a virus scan or, you know, adware scan, some kind of anything. Anyway, he sits there and he plays his fucking PSP.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, so now it's like top of my list of things I want is it now a PSP. Because it's like, damn it. I could sit there in people's homes and play like Burnout and be like, shut up, kid. Be quiet. Tell your mom to bring me a soda. No, you can't play. That's such a bastard. Anyway, the first email we have here, we only got two this week. And they are about the Nintendo DS, that's right. The first one here we got from Mocker, and this is one hell of a... This is long. I'm going to get all kinds of lightheaded and very hoarse. I was sick this week. So I might not do so well this episode. This might...
There might be a break, you know, that C4 passed out and we had to...
It's going to sound like an anti-smoking commercial at the end of this. Okay, people, and that's the end of the show. I'm going to be all kinds of screwed up. All right, let's see. From Mocker. Hey, guys, after hearing Robo Christian's enthusiastic email about the DS last week, I felt that I had an obligation to send in one of my own, especially since I was mentioned due to my recent addiction to a certain DS game which should only be mentioned by the name of the condition it causes, OCD, Obsessive Castlevania Disorder. Lucky for you guys, I was born without social intelligence, so I have no regard for what one should or should not say, as anyone who visits the IRC channel probably already knows. So I'll come right out and tell you the name of the game.
I think he's actually missing the piece of the brain.
It's gotta be what it is.
It causes you to realize, oh, maybe I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, exactly.
We dig it, though. It's...
So, no, it's good. It definitely adds a definite unique personality to IRC that I wouldn't know what to do with myself if it wasn't there. We definitely welcome your presence. Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow. What the hell does it say? Oh, Soma Cruz is back and he's kicking more ass than ever. Just as a warning to C4 before I start. Uh-oh. When you started playing it, you won't stop until you're all the way through, at least two times, and you've completed all the extra modes. It's just that good. The day after I got it, I brought my DS to school and snuck out to the bathroom in the middle of class to play for no less than 25 minutes. Yeah, I got some strange looks. That's awesome. You know what? And I know that this is entirely true, because when I got, Area of whatever, Sorrow or something, for the Advance... The Game Boy Advance. Holy God. I could not stop playing that game. It was amazing. I think the very first time I saw it, Hunter had it. And I was like, oh yeah, that looks decent. And we were all sitting there, me, Wolf, Hooks, and Hunter, trying to play something else, and Hunter's like, fuck you guys, I'm playing Castlevania. And I was like, this game can't be that good, give me that. So I took his Game Boy and played for like 10 minutes. I swear to God, I ended up buying it like a week later, and I played that shit until it was done and over with. 10 times through, I was hooked. It is that much fun. It is good stuff. On to the actual reviewish creature composed of randomly placed words. And this is a lot of randomly placed words. See, this is huge. This email. The basic premise of the game is pretty much identical to the Game Boy Advance Castlevanias. Shockingly enough, there is a castle you have to explore. Oh my God, no way. Holy shit, I didn't see that coming.
Like zombies in Resident Evil.
Yeah, no. And in order to get to new parts of the castle, you need various souls you can find around the castle. Usually you get them by beating a boss. This basic layout of gameplay is just as entertaining as always, perhaps even more than it was before. The only Castlevania which comes close to Dawn of Sorrow in sheer quality and fun factor is Symphony of the Night. That was the one on the PlayStation, if nobody knows. Pretty much anything in Dawn of Sorrow is frighteningly close to perfection. The gameplay is very similar to Area of Sorrow, only more refined and, simply put, better. More entertaining, largely due to the DS being able to have far more and bigger sprites on screen. There's just more stuff going on, and let's face it, in a 2D side-scroller, you want lots of action and bosses that span over several screens. Speaking of bosses, this game has a lot of them. There are 15 bosses in total, and overall the level of quality of the bosses is very good, with plenty of fan favorites and new bosses. Holy crap, he spelled favorites right, too. That's awesome.
Right, spell checker.
No, there's a U in it, and I spell it like that, too. And nobody else does, and I get lots of strange looks for it. Okay, Dawn of Sorrow isn't lacking in the visuals either, with beautiful 2D graphics similar to the ones in Symphony of the Night. The music and sound effects are excellent as well. This game makes it painfully obvious how much superior the DS is compared to the Game Boy Advance when it comes to sound. Let's see, when it comes to the rest of the DS's features, well, the touchscreen usage is okay. It adds very little to the game. You shatter some ice by touching, for some reason. In Julius mode, you just attack the ice instead, so I don't really get the point of having it there at all. The other major use for the touch is to draw magic seals after beating a boss. I can definitely see what they're going for with it, but it doesn't transfer well into the game. My take on it was that it was meant to be sort of the finishing move you always see the hero do in movies and games that have to do with exorcism, etc. He's beaten down the monster and he has to seal it down, but the game unfortunately doesn't make it feel like it's part of the finishing sequence. Now, if it switched to a first person and you gaze up at this huge monster about to die, and then coolly drew the seal of Soma's hand actually, and Soma's hand actually moved as if you were controlling his hand, it would have been awesome. Maybe even adding a magic word just to really give you that feeling that you're this amazingly powerful wizard. Yeah, because it has the microphone, so that would be really neat too. You could recite the thing. What was that from Army of Darkness? Klaatu, Varaktu, Nishadam! That would be so cool. I could totally see them doing that.
I really dig on that kind of stuff too, like in Black and White 1 where you use the mouse to draw the spell.
Oh, right, right.
And that sort of thing. I think that's really cool.
See, I thought it was cool in this. I remember reading about this before this came out, and I thought, wow, that's kind of neat. That's a good effect. But if they don't, you know, implement it well into the game, I kind of see where it kind of loses its touch. His idea of all of a sudden looking up at the creature spanning across two screens, and you got to draw on the bottom one, that would have been dope.
Right.
That would have been really, really cool. Let's see. Carrying on here. A real finisher, but it doesn't do that. The seal just appears on screen on top of the action and you draw it quickly. Then it disappears and the boss gets dragged into some kind of vortex. It feels tacked on. Unnecessary things are only cool when they are neat and look good. A tagged on useless feature that adds nothing other than perhaps a tiny bit of extra tension is not cool or fun. On the other hand, the second screen is perhaps the most useful addition into the Castlevania series ever. The map is there all the time. It's an invaluable asset. I also found myself using the stat screen that comes up on the top screen if you press select a lot. Perhaps just as much as the map, especially when I was killing monsters for souls. Yeah, I bet. Because that was one of the biggest problems I had playing on the Game Boy, is that, you know, they have nothing but the action really there for you, and they don't want to screw up the screen really, so, you know, you don't have a bunch of crap to look at on such a small screen. Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly pulling up the menu for the map and whatnot, and other kinds of weird locations and spells and items and all this other garbage that would be nice to have available a little bit easier, and if I knew what I was packing around, that'd be cool.
And that's true for a lot of games, and it's really,
yeah.
That second screen is really a godsend for that sort of thing.
Yeah, and it's great that Nintendo's forced to use it on the DS, because I really like the idea of being able to hook your Game Boy Advance to your GameCube. You know, like thinking to myself, wow, I could play all these cool games and have my stats at just like a quick glance down. I could see these, you know, whatever the hell game I'm playing, maybe an RPG or something, and I could see my spell list or something, or whatever the hell the case is.
Or Madden, you used it to
choose
your plays when you were playing against an opponent.
Right, how cool is that? But unfortunately, it doesn't seem like they used it for very many games.
Mm.
You know, and this, unfortunately, sticks in my head as like the Super Scope and the Power Glove and the Power Pad and all these little things that Nintendo has, and I can't help but think about the Revolution controller. Like, as much as I want it to kick ass and as cool as I think it's going to be, I fear that Nintendo, they might do that same thing to this. You know, they might not be forced to use it, so they might not use it as much as they want.
Right.
You know, and I'm really, really worried about that because the idea behind it is so cool. You know. So whatever. I think that's I'm worried about it. I'm scared.
This is a little different than, say, the Power Glove, because it is their controller. It's not an extra piece.
Yeah, that's true. It's not like some kind of add-on peripheral that you have to go out and buy. Not everybody would
have. The regular controller is the add-on thing.
Right, but you're going to have that shell of a regular controller anyway. And, you know, I could totally see them just throwing the towel, and plus you can use your Wavebird on it. If I remember right, you can use your Wavebird controller, if I remember hearing that right.
I recall hearing that the shell was going to be like
oh,
the
Oh, just look like it? Oh, okay, I guess I could see that's what it was. I could have sworn I heard somebody say that you could use your Wavebird.
But that might have been what they read, but also I might have just not seen that.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that a little bit more. Okay. A run-through of the game with a basic ending should take you about 5 hours. But if you stop playing at that point, you don't deserve to be playing the game in the first place. There's just so much more to do. First of all, there are 2 other endings to get, both of which unlock more modes. The bad ending unlocks a mode called Julius Mode, which is a mode which basically a whole new adventure where you play as either Julius Belmont, Yoko Belnades, or Alucard. Let's see here. All with their own unique movesets. That's always a lot of fun. That's cool. Change up the moves.
Yeah.
And while most of the bosses are the same ones you fought as Soma, there's an all-new final boss, which I think all fans will appreciate. Then there's the good ending, which unlocks Boss Rush Mode, which is a lot of fun and even has some awesome rewards, including a rocket launcher. And yes, I have played an all-rocket launcher game already. It's just so satisfying to fire off a rocket and watch your enemies blow up. I must admit that sometimes I stop time using a soul from a boss and just run across a room filled with ghouls firing my rocket launcher. They gib quite nicely. All in all, this game is worth buying a DS4. Mm-hmm. End of story. But then again, with all the games that are out and are coming out in the near future, who the hell doesn't want at least one of the other games announced? RoboChristian announced some games, but I believe it's my duty to report about some of the games I'm looking forward to the most for the DS. I won't bother going into detail with them, with all of them, as the goal of this email is not to kill C4. First up, I seem to remember that the last episode you mentioned Sword of Mana or Secret of Mana. It was Sword of Mana. Let's see. Well, I thought you might like to know that the DS is also getting its very own Mana game, namely Children of Mana. Until just a few weeks ago, very little was known, but now we know not only who's working on the game, which is quite the impressive team, but also a few details about the gameplay. Apparently, it will feature a complex weapon system and large amounts of character modification via equipment instead of a traditional job or class system. A multiplayer co-op mode is also a big feature in the game, but details about it are scarce. The game is scheduled for release in Japan in winter 2005, so hopefully we'll be playing it by spring or at least summer. Now that's pretty cool. I looked up a little bit on this game earlier today, and I at least saw some screenshots of it.
Right.
You know, and it looked like it had some really cool, like, I'm not so sure if it was just, like, shots from the intro movie, or if it was parts, like, random gameplay. You're playing along, and bam, it stops you, and you get to watch some neat little sequence. But they had, like, the full drawn anime stuff to watch, which was pretty cool. And it looks like the same usual, like, Secret of Mana style gameplay,
mm-hmm.
You know, which is good. I like that kind of gameplay. I have a fucking blast playing that series of games. However, they need to pay special attention to the artificial intelligence of this game, because that is what absolutely destroyed Sword of Mana on the Game Boy Advance.
Right.
I mean, that game was so fun, so good, and the only problem was the AI was absolutely horrid. And I actually could not make it all the way through it, and I made it pretty damn far.
Which, that's an important part of a game.
Yeah, well, especially when you're bringing a second dude with you. You've got a character who's constantly getting stuck behind things, or the minute you fight a boss that hits you for more than 2 points of damage, you know, that you're ridiculously overpowered for most of the guys, you end up fighting a boss, or you get to some level a little bit early, at least for your level, and he runs out there to hit the guy, and bam, he gets killed. You know, just because they're stupid. So you can actually affect, you can pick how you want their AI to be, though. They have, like, a little chart, and you're, like, you know, more aggressive and more attack. Or stay back and more spells. Or whatever you're, you know. And they suck at it. You tell them to stay back, they get left behind.
Mm-hmm.
You tell them to attack, they get killed every time. So it's just like, oh, this is just stupid. And the enemies are just as dumb. You know, so it's really retarded, and I could not play it anymore. It was just that bad. On to another game. Final Fantasy III. The Japanese 3, not the American one, which was actually 6. In Japan was R3. This is the real Final Fantasy III. Unlike the ports of Final Fantasy games to the Game Boy Advance, Final Fantasy III for the DS will be more of a remake-ish affair. It will be done in full 3D and have updated gameplay.
Oh.
Yeah, and if I remember, I wrote down notes something about this being like little polygons and all kinds of cool stuff. Like, totally redone. For something like Final Fantasy VI, this would probably be blasphemy, but let's face it. At least in my opinion, the original Final Fantasy III for the NES isn't that good, nor very noteworthy in Final Fantasy history. I think he's right, too. Seeing 1 and 2 in an almost original state is important, but I can't say the same for the Final Fantasy III. A remake will only do it good, but fans of the original shouldn't be too worried. A lot of the same people who made the original Final Fantasy III are on the board for the remake. Chances are we'll be playing this sometime in 2006. And I happen to know now, I was reading up on this a little bit, I think even Ryba pointed this out to me, 3, 4, 5, and 6 are all coming to the DS,
mm-hmm.
And 3 is the only one getting, I guess, a full remake. The rest, I imagine, are just going to be either straight ports or mostly ports or whatever. But you know what, I'm still incredibly excited.
Well, I think it would be good for them to do stuff like up the resolution and whatnot.
I absolutely agree, because what I want to see, like, now, granted, he said in here, Final Fantasy VI Remake would probably be blasphemy. That is that's easily in my top probably 3 games of all time. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that game. I would dig seeing a remake of it, because I have, like, remakes of it. Well, I have, like, the port that was on the PlayStation. It was, like, it was a port, but it had this neat little video, and they tried to make it all special.
Right.
It's the same game. It's still incredibly fun. But I would it's not going to be ruined for me, because it would be the same game. It wouldn't be like them making a whole new one, carrying on a series, and then breaking it. Like, say, Wind Waker.
Right.
You know,
right.
That was such a letdown, because it was like, oh, God, you guys fucked this up. But let's say if they redid The Legend of Zelda, and it sucked. That wouldn't be so bad, because I still know the original was good. You know, I'd be like, oh, yeah, they fucked up a remake. Big surprise, you know? I would love to see a remake of the original, though. Oh, my God. You hear that, Nintendo? Listen up.
Yes, I think it would actually be really cool if they stuck with the whole sprite thing and how they looked and stuff, but, like, like more facial expressions.
Yeah, yeah.
And like more resolution so that it looks a little better. I think that'd be really cool.
There was something we're going to talk about today, and I can't remember. Oh, Mario.
Right.
That's what I wanted to see. That's what I would like to see done, where it looks like a very... It looks like 3D, 2D.
Right.
Like
I love that.
It's fucking great. It works out really good, doesn't it? Like, what else is like that? Like, Contra, I think, is like that. Shattered Soldier. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And then there's that one that we never got here from the TurboGrafx-16. And it's the same way, and it looks so kick-ass. The guy with the big head. Bonk's Adventure. They redid that, and it's all 3D polygon, but you're still playing it 2D, and it makes for an awesome game. It looks really good, too. So I would kill to see something like that again. Oh, my God. Like a remake of anything really good. I couldn't see them screw that up. Take the gameplay and bump up the graphics. I'll play all those old games again.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see. Now let's move on to a game not made by Square Enix, Sonic Rush. And no, I do not feel like writing about any new IP games just yet. Yeah, these are all... You know, old intellectual property games here. But you know what? Because sequels are sometimes good. Because getting in on the things you guys said about sequels last episode, who cares if it's the sixth in a series as long as it's fun? A year ago I would, but then I realized I was a fucking idiot who worried too much instead of just kicking back and playing games. And you know what? This is exactly what happened to me. And I remember who broke me of that habit. It was, I can't remember his real name, but it was Game Geek on IRC. Paul something. Right, remember that guy?
He was
there for just a little while, and he broke me of that way of thinking, because it used to drive me insane. I was so pissed and so worried about, this game isn't new, we've seen this before. He had one fuck of a point. Who cares? Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Would you want to play more? Yes. Okay, then, it's called a sequel. Knock yourself out. Hopefully some other people out there will see the light as well and start having fun instead of worrying about that kind of bullshit. Not every company is Electronic Arts. The industry still has plenty of soul. It might be big business now, but the developers still care about games. And that's a very valid point. The developers do.
Yeah.
The problem is the money doesn't. There are, in fact, still companies...
Which is who call the shots.
Exactly. They dictate exactly what we get to see and why we're seeing this in-game advertising starting to get bigger now. There are, in fact, still companies out there with gamers and game developers in charge. They aren't the biggest companies in the world, and they don't pump out 40 games a year. They're the guys who release a few games each year. The medium-sized company who can afford not to be tied down to a publisher. And as long as those companies exist, all we have to do is kick back, enjoy, and play games. Call me when all those companies are gone, and only the top 10 or 15 remain, then I'll start to worry.
I agree with
that. That was a hell of a good...
I agree with that, except for the fact that those companies, since they only put out a couple games and since they have their own money, they can't afford to take too many risks. They do a lot of the whole formula thing because they don't have a whole lot of choice. If they get one game that bombs, they're in big trouble.
That might break them. Yeah. That's the scary part right there.
So they tend to go for the formula thing just as much as the big guys do.
You know who I like to think about is the guys, Toe Jam and Earl Productions, or whatever the hell they call themselves. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
The guys who did Toe Jam and Earl. The first one, I cannot think of a game I played on my Genesis more than that game. Maybe Mercs. I love that stupid-ass game. But Toe Jam and Earl, to me, was such a unique game. It was insanely cool. And then they released the second one, and it bombed. Right, because it was nothing like the first. They took a risk trying to turn a really awesome like 3D platformer and turn it into a 2D side scroller, and it bombed. And you didn't hear anything from those guys. It seemed like for days, at least as far as any updates on their website, it seemed like they were dead, like they were just completely gone.
Right.
And then I remember them working on Toe Jam and Earl 3 for the Dreamcast. And that never came around, and all we ever saw of that, I have a video of it running on Dreamcast hardware. That's it, on the old, whatever the hell it was. And then it came out on the Xbox, and I thought it was a good game. I really, really turned out to enjoy it a lot more than I thought. Originally, I did not like it, and then upon checking it out, you know, later on, I really enjoyed that game. It was a very good game.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard any word on a new one, of course, though. You know, and it's been a long time.
Toe Jam and Earl, they've done, though, is the Toe Jam and Earl stuff?
I don't know, but they call themselves, like, TJ&E Productions or something, if I remember right. Going to their website, it seemed like that's all they really did. Like, it was a pretty small little development house and whatever. I imagine they do something else, you know, too. I don't know what, though.
That's, like, three games in the last 20 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's a long time, so I don't know how good they're doing at all. But I would love to see a new one, but I don't know, because I don't think the Toe Jam and Earl 3 did very well either.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a great game. It just didn't get as good reviews, I guess, as it should have or whatever. And that's been out for a while.
Right.
That came out...
That was an earlier Xbox title.
Yeah, it was. And, and I'm trying to remember, in the first, when did the, what month did the Xbox come out originally?
Oh, man, I don't know.
Like, I want to say November, huh?
At that point, I didn't care.
Yeah.
I wasn't really all that into the Xbox.
I want to say it came out the year after the Xbox was released on October 24th.
Mm.
And the reason I remember that, because it's my birthday. And I remember being in the mall with Wolf going, dude, Toe Jam and Earl 3 is out. Yes, I was so happy. All right, remember way back in the email when I said... Yeah, that was way back. Remember way back in the email when I said the second screen might be the most useful addition to the basic Castlevania formula ever. Well, Sonic Rush has one of those as well. An instant boost button. Just press it and you're back in speed. Sonic Rush is a classic 2D side-scrolling platformer. Thank the gods! Okay, now that that's out. A classic 2D side-scrolling platformer, like the original Sonic games. You know the ones that were supposed to be fast, but in lots of the zones were practically impossible to speed through? Yes, I'm looking at you, Marble Zone. This one, by the looks of it, is actually pretty damn fast. Not just because of the boost button, but the level design really looks like it was made for speed this time, with plenty of loops and topsy-turvy tracks. The boss battles, however, are done in full 3D and actually look rather good, but I'll reserve judgment until I play it myself, as mixing 3D with Sonic hasn't worked very well in the past.
How interesting.
And, you know, that is very something. And, you know, he's right, though, because I remember, I liked the 2D ones. I thought the graphics were spectacular. The idea that you can go really fast was cool, mm-hmm. but you never could go very fast for too terribly long, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
Only in certain places where they would set you up with, like, long ramps and random crap to, like, bounce around in. Yeah, and it was just like, okay, this is kind of gay, because at some point I have to get back to, like, the Mario style, where I'm jumping on things and rolling into dudes and hitting coins and whatnot, you know? Yeah, and then the 3D ones came out. Those sucked ass, in my opinion. I hated them. Because you went too fast, it seemed like. You were bouncing through the level so fast, you never got to stop and see anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't really like them. Not at all. That's it for the games I'll bother going in-depth with. What with being 3M? Nice. But here's a list of games that just might tickle your fancy as they have mine. Tails DS of the Namco Tails series. Which I do believe Mr. Cobard, D's over here, might thoroughly enjoy. I see a DS in your future, if not just for Nintendogs for the lady.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to this system. I think it looks really good. Well, looking forward it's out, but
yeah.
Looking forward to getting
one. Right, I know. And we had an argument before the show a little bit. We were arguing PSP versus DS, which is kind of... we stand on opposite ends.
Yeah.
I think the PSP is just way cooler, and it's a must-have.
No way.
Yeah, way.
All it has is this homebrew stuff. I can do that on my computer.
Yeah, but it's portable.
Well, fine.
I can play Final Fantasy VI in the car on my lunch break for the first time in my life.
I have
dreams about this. I can play it in the bathroom. Okay, I didn't own a Wonder Swan. I believe they had Final Fantasy VI, but
they're putting it out on the DS.
But I could do it on the PSP with some funky homebrew stuff and have a whole shit ton of other games.
That's true. But, personally...
Plus, I could have the nifty save state feature, correct? You might not have that on the DS version.
Right. But outside of the house, I don't have time for games. I'm busy working and driving and all that kind of stuff. So, at least for me, anything that the PSP can do, I can do on my computer.
That has been my argument, too, for months about portable gaming system, is I don't play any games. I'm either at work where I can't play, or I'm here, and I'm not playing. And if I am playing, I'm playing something on my Game Boy Player or my TV anyway. Now, I have discovered something recently. First of all, I am not taking time to play these games like I should be, because I very well do get a 15-minute break every 2 hours, where I could definitely sit down and fire up some something. Even if I'm playing Pong, at least I'm playing a game. And, you know, I could play on my lunch break for a half an hour or whatever, and maybe in 2 months my job might be completely different again, where I might have hours out of my day to play, which is cool. And if not, I could still use it to play movies, okay? And I could go to work currently, set that little fucker up on my desk and watch, you know, some movies or some TV or something, or play some music.
Now that's true. That kind of stuff you can do with the PSP that you can't with the DS.
Aha! Okay. That's because it's what? Cooler? Right. Just checking.
No, it's because Sony wasn't as good at freaking keeping their shit
together. Together, yeah. That's a good point. Now, there is some Nintendo DS homebrew stuff out there, too, that we're going to have to get into and look into one day, but I've been told there is some stuff out there. I haven't at all looked into it at all, so I know nothing about it. It's because I don't have one to play with, and I hate reading about something and getting all involved in it, because then I suddenly want to screw with it terribly, terribly bad, and then bad financial decisions are made.
Right, right.
So until I figure something out, there is no PSP here, but...
But from a game perspective... The DS is way better, in my opinion. I'm looking at the list.
Like, I want to say that the PSP is cooler and the DS is more fun. But that depends on your outlook, though. Now, I know a lot of people that absolutely cannot stand and abhor the idea of doing any kind of hacking or any kind of modification to their consoles. To me, that has become half the fun. Since we had chips for our PlayStation, and that just didn't seem so cool to me. Oh boy, copying a PlayStation game, whoop-de-fucking-do. That's what I have a computer for. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't like the PlayStation games, though. But then the Xbox came along, and in my opinion, gave birth to this giant mecca of modding for the console community. And look at the ridiculous stuff that we have now. And so now that's in my head is, well, this is some cool shit. Because I've done some neat stuff on my Dreamcast, too, that I never thought I could do with just software. Mm-hmm. You know, with just software. And it's really cool to me. So that's why I think the DS is the shit still. I don't know, it feels good as shit, too. Just to hold on to it, I like it. I like it. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with the DS, though. They're both fantastic machines. I just think that I would put the PSP a little bit higher on my list of cool stuff.
We'll see. When they get some better games out, then I may...
They have good games. They have the entire Nintendo Entertainment System library. They have the entire Super Nintendo System library. Shit!
Okay, that's true. Okay. I mean, the PSP games. Five of them.
Yeah, right. You got Lumines, Madden, Burnout, Ridge Racer, and Untold Legends. It's like and off the
Wipeout.
Top. Wipeout. Wipeout, oh, and the fighting one.
Right, right.
Darkstalkers Chronicles. Yeah, yeah. And that's, like, seriously all that comes to mind. And then, like, a slew of movies that you could rip and encode yourself using whatever it's called, PSP 9 or... Video 9 or whatever the fuck they called it, whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know, I'm stoked on the damn thing. So anyway, carrying on with Mocker's list of kick-ass games, because these are cool. There's an Ease strategy game coming out that I'm not so sure any details on that.
Ease strategy?
Yeah, I have no idea. When I say Ease, I mean the letter Y, possibly S. Right, right. Yeah, right. But...
Oh,
the listeners might have a hard time.
Everybody else.
Yeah, everybody else. Yeah, you're holding the notes. I know you know what I'm talking about. A new Wario World game, which I can see that being insanely cool to play with a stylus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as much as Wario World bugged the ever-living fuck out of me on the Advance, I see it still driving me insane on the DS. But much cooler because you can use the microphone.
You mean WarioWare?
Oh, yeah.
And that's already out. WarioWare Touched, that's out.
Is it really?
That was like one of the first games.
Oh, you know what? I screwed up some other game on my list too earlier. Oh, what the hell
Wario,
is this then?
Wario World, you don't remember, it was a Game Boy game. And it was kind of like Mario, but it was Wario was the good
Holy
guy.
Crap, you're right.
Yeah.
I do remember that now.
That was like way back in the day.
Holy cow, okay. Damn, I thought they abandoned that idea. I forgot all about that. You're right. I had it. Mm-hmm. I had like three or something, something.
I think I had the first one, actually.
I don't remember now. I don't remember at all. Okay, well, that's cool then. All right, I feel better about this now. All right. Resident Evil Deadly Silence. Bleach, any idea what the hell that is?
That might be the...
it's a Nirvana CD.
Well, no, there's some anime that mockers go and hog wild over that's called Bleach.
Ah, okay, okay.
That's probably what that is.
Yeah, it must be. Beautiful Joe, Double Trouble.
That could be interesting.
Ash.
Ash.
No idea. No idea.
That's not the guy from...
Evil Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
The Legend of Zelda DS, which my understanding is this is going to feature some very Four Swords-ish style gameplay.
Mm.
I imagine they're going to try to capitalize
on the
whole
wireless.
I'm
sure Miyamoto will do all kinds of stuff with the touch screen.
Yeah,
every single aspect of it.
Oh, God. Band Brothers, no idea what that is. Shin Megami Tensei, T-E-N-S-E-I, DS.
Harvest, why is that name familiar?
Yeah, I know, it does, yeah. The first part sounds familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
Harvest Moon, Age of Empires, Age of Kings. I swear I've never even heard of that coming out for the DS, so that's pretty amazing. Uncharted Waters. No idea what that is either.
See, that's another cool thing about the DS, is that for the first time you can actually have, outside of your computer, a decent RTS system.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really, really cool.
Because the stylus allows you to play it like it's a mouse.
Like it's a mouse, yeah, exactly. Guilty Gear Dust Strikers, and yet another Castlevania for the DS. And the most important game of them all, obviously, Tingle RPG. Yes, Tingle from Zelda is getting his own RPG. Every now and again, Nintendo scares me. Tingle, remember that stupid-ass little fairy dude?
I know, we need, like, crickets.
That's the sound clip that we need.
Yeah, yeah. It's, oh my god.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about that either. That character was kind of, stupid.
Yeah.
I did not dig on that character at all, and I do not see him, having his own RPG.
You know who he reminds me of? The guy from Katamari.
Yes! Yes! He's like exactly like him. I thought that they stole the character from him. I didn't know. I thought it was a, like, I have no idea. Anyhow, oh, we have another email here from, I'm not sure if this is Happy DA, it must be Happy Da. HappyDa. And this is, again, about the DS. In defense of the DS. See, I'm sitting here listening to episode 101, and just thought I'd shoot a quick email to you and let you know that there are some homebrew games. Oh yeah, I knew I'd read about this somewhere. How quickly I forget. This was a couple days ago, though, so forgive me. It's all that WarioWare that's making my short-term memory, you know. This was only 2 days ago I read this. And let you know that there are some homebrew games and software available for the DS via flash ROM cart and some newer hardware that are made specifically for the DS. These carts, as you may or may not know, enable you to play a multitude of emulators up to the Nintendo Entertainment System era of consoles, and I hear that a Super Nintendo Entertainment System emulator has been released specifically for the DS as well. Not to mention the fact that you can load actual Game Boy Advance ROMs onto a cart, and even multiple games depending on the size of the cart. Just beware, they rate them in kilobits, not bytes. So personally, I would just go for the Super Cart, which is basically a flash ROM cart with an SD card slot. It's only $60 or so, and from what I hear, it has all the newest features. That's good to know. Anyway, just thought I'd let you guys know, since every time you mention the PSP's homebrew scene, which does look like it's a lot more active and has a lot more power, but nonetheless, the DS does have its hackable features as well, and I had to stick up for it.
See, there you go.
I guess, see, maybe the DS is just all around cooler and more fun. Maybe, but, you know, like he says here, it only works on up to 8-bit games. So we're looking at, like, Game Boy games, Nintendo Entertainment System games, Atari 2600 games.
Well, he also just said that they just released a Super Nintendo.
He hears that. So I'm sticking that in the rumor category at this point. Until I get my hands on it, until you get your DS and start doing this. Because until then, I have seen motherfuckers playing stuff on their PSP.
Right.
So, also, I've heard you guys talk about first-person shooter games on consoles and how crappy the control is using a controller, and I agree 100%. I hate using the controller for those games, and with the exception of Halo, refuse to play with one. Not to mention the fact that I'm left-handed, and apparently 98% of developers are oblivious to the fact that left-handed people do play games. Of course, I'm talking about the stupid-ass control schemes that don't let you customize them, only giving you two or three configs to choose from. No hitting a button to throw a nade. Yeah, no. You have to hit the D-pad up twice to press the analog stick and smack the controller on your forehead. And that's just to get to the selection menu. Anyway, I just thought I'd let you guys know that a little device called the SmartJoy Frag was released about 6 months ago that enables you to use a mouse and keyboard on the console. It's basically an Xbox PS2 wire connected to a box with two ports on it, one for the mouse and one for the keyboard, with a memory card slot on the top. You connect a regular mouse and keyboard to it, and it translates them into controller movements.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that? It's fully customizable, and I mean fully. I have an MX700, that's a Logitech wireless mouse, I believe, and I can use every button except the ones that change the DPI. But that leaves 8 buttons for the mouse and everything else on the keyboard except the F keys and escape, which are used to program and change the dead zone. I'm sure you can Google it and get all the features and stuff, but as a user for the last few months, I have to say that I love it. It doesn't respond like an actual PC would, except for the Unreal series, which let you jack up the sensitivity as high as you like, but they do let you fine-tune it to a certain point. It's still limited by the fact that it can only go as fast as an analog stick, but it's worlds better than the controller. And get this, it makes games fun. I've played more FPSs on my Xbox in the last few months than the entire time I've had it. Not to mention I, a lefty, can at last play the games I only got to watch my buddies play.
So that is cool, the whole configuration thing, but...
Hell yeah.
Like, 80% of my problem is how fast the cursor goes.
Yeah.
It's
like, and if it doesn't let you speed it up too much, that kind of blows, because I like those...
Well, although, like, some of the games allow you to speed it up too real fast, but it's just, like, ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're trying to use
a
stick.
That's what your fine-tuning is for, you know.
But if you have the mouse, you're able to do it better. It might be cool.
That is way cool, because I've sat there, and I have watched 20 people play Halo on 5, you know, Xboxes on 62-inch, you know, mega DLP, Uber, Plaza, whatever the fucks, and I can't play.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching them laugh and smile. That you know that look, too. I know you've seen it. Look at walking on your friend playing a game that he's totally enthralled in. You know, he's kind of leaning forward. He's got his neck tilted back so his head's, like, even with the TV, even though, like, it should be pointing at the ground. His jaw's open and his eyes are glued to this, you know? And he's just, like, in this trance of, like, this half-crocked smile, disbelief, fantasy world, just orgasmic trance. And it's the shit, you know? And I see, you know, people doing this, and I can't get that way with Halo, you know, right. Or any first-person console shooter. You know, and I hear, like, Hooks, you know, talk about how fantastic Raven Shield and all these other first-person shooter games are, and I try to play, and I'm, like, shooting myself in the foot, and I try to turn around, and I shoot, you know, my buddy behind me instead, you know, next to me even.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can never get it to do what I want, so...
Yeah, we have the best ones on the computer anyway.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what it comes down to. I say it's not even really worth giving it, you know, a shot. I mean, who cares? Wait for the computer. But you know what? A lot of people don't have a powerful enough computer, I guess, to run stuff like that. And, you know, hey, maybe...
And especially since, for whatever reason, the FPS genre seems to be the one that pushes the whole graphical thing the hardest.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So it is
look
expensive.
Look at Fear, Doom Black. 3. And
yeah. Yeah,
they always seem to be the ones that really push it hard.
Yeah, Quake, oh my beautiful Quake. All in all, I'd say it's an awesome deal, and even better now than that they've lowered the price to $20. That's not bad at all. I personally went and bought all the old used and new games that are now in the bargain bin because of how crappy they were due to the control schemes. I know I sound like a salesman and all with it, but it literally turned me back onto console gaming and made it fun instead of fighting the controls. Anyway, great show, guys. You're one of my favorite shows due to the way you guys talk about games. You obviously love them as much as I do, and it really shines through in the way you guys talk about them. Keep it up, and I'll keep listening. That was from Happyda, HAPPYDA. I'm not sure how that's supposed to be pronounced. Awesome.
Sounds good to me.
But yeah, that's Smart Joy Frag, Triple X, whatever the hell it was called. I forgot. No, see, this is what I like it when somebody can tell us that doesn't work for the company. I happen to know that he doesn't work for them, actually.
Right.
So, but when we get something from somebody who's a real person and actually likes to support something, not, you know, you're not going to wind up at our site and see ads for it and then hear us talk about it, you know, on the next show. That's not going to happen. We'll get it from somebody who actually bought the thing and tried it out and loves it, and that is awesome, because I know there's a lot of people, myself and Kobar included, that would actually use this thing if we tried to play a game like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, unfortunately, I am so bent on first-person shooters on consoles, chances of me even trying this out are damn slim, unless something comes out that really, really tickles my fancy. Like if, let's say, you know, hell freezes over, and Duke Nukem Forever comes out as like a PC-only or a Xbox or a PS2-only game, I think out of sheer curiosity.
That's so much ifs.
That's way too many ifs, but you never know. And plus, didn't you remember, hey, I'm sure everybody saw this. They were saying that Duke Nukem Forever is not coming out. Remember, because they updated some fact somewhere, and they said that it would never get updated or what? Did you see that in the news?
I think so.
There was like this whole way blown out of proportion thing about, oh my god, Duke Nukem Forever is not going to come out. My first initial thought was, this is news to people. Right? So then I go and I check it out, and whatever it is they have like this whole, like, it's like 3D Realms, like, text file that basically keeps everybody up to date on the status of every single game they've ever released and ever going to release, right? Or at least...
That they know
as
of.
As far that they know of, right? And somewhere they fucked up, and they worded it really weird, right? It says, like, Duke Nukem Forever, you know, canceled, right? And then it says, like, this title was decided, used on some other project. So anyway, somehow this makes, like, Slashdot. And all the big game sites. Oh my god, some jackass read this, you know, read this totally wrong, and sees this as Duke Nukem Forever was canceled. I read it, and it took me 10 seconds to figure out that, you know, they're talking about a different game. You scroll down further, and they still talk about Duke Nukem Forever, the one that we all know and have been waiting for. So, then, like a couple days later, Amazon posts a release date for Duke Nukem Forever. Now, that is taking one big risk.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember what the date was, but they put up a release date for it.
Huh.
Yeah, so I don't know what all that drama was about, but it was pretty interesting. It shook people up a little bit and got everybody to look at Duke Nukem Forever again. I mean,
probably why they did it.
That's exactly what I think it is.
But 3D Realms probably leaked that.
Yeah. That's exactly what I think happened too. There's no way that this was just a pure accident that out of nowhere this game comes flying out of the blue again. Oh my god, and get everybody worked up again. There's no way. I don't even want to play it anymore. I just want to see it happen just so I can say, wow, I was wrong. But I've been right for so long.
It's gonna be crap.
It's gonna suck.
It's gonna be like...
See, already they need to change it because the last change they made, didn't they change it to like the Doom 3 engine or the Unreal Tournament 2004 engine or something or
something
3?
Like that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That was how many years ago? Now they're going to need to change it to the new Source engine, or the 2000 Unreal Tournament 2007 engine, or the Quake 4 engine, or Doom 3 engine, right? Yeah, Doom 3 engine. They're going to need to change it again. They're screwing up.
I don't know what the hell is taking them so damn long, but it's like they're sitting on their hands or something.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Every time the new technology comes out, they move it to that and spend 6 years getting it.
Refining it once again. Yeah, we did have a couple of news shorts here this week, too. The Governator, Arnold, has signed... This is for the California, you poor bastards in California. Let me just explain something to you. If you live in California...
Move.
Do what I did, and move just a few miles inside the Nevada border. There's no state tax here. You can buy alcohol 24 hours a day, and you can smoke inside.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you can tell... by my voice. Okay, it's much better on this. The grass is truly greener over here. Plus, anyway, the Governator has signed that Violent Video Game Act that we were talking about before that, or the bill, AB 1179, into law today. This is the one that is going to take place. It gets, like, official January 1st, 2006, and the result was that retailers will get fined up to a grand. That's up to a grand, okay, per violation of the newly signed law for selling these mature games. This is like 18 to people under 18 years of age, like the AO rated games. Now, I read like 4 different goddamn articles on this thing and could not tell you if they specified age groups for like 17, you know, like if you were say 16 and tried to buy a mature game, would they still get fined? Because I could not find that, because I saw one article that said you can only buy the AO game if you're over 17, like a day over 17. One that said any game that was like had any violence in it, like it was really way broad, like violence and sexual anything and drug use, blah blah blah, to 17 and up. And it's just, I don't know, or under. And I just couldn't figure out what it was. So roughly, don't fuck up, card these kids now for buying these games so you don't get your company fined. And
well, there was also something about their own rating system or something, or
really?
Well, you're the one telling me about it. Like it was like a separate sticker.
It's the way that it was rated, though, because they said it had to be marked as an adult title. So
it could still be an M,
right?
And yet have this special sticker.
Exactly.
That,
like Grand Theft Auto would be one of those games. It would be marked as mature, but it would be marked as for sale to adults only, and you would have to card the guy. Now the mature rating. This essentially nulls and voids out the ESRB rating system, because now the government has to say what the rating is on that. Okay, they have to say that this game is only for sale to people of this age, and they get to dictate that now. But the good guys are stepping in. The Entertainment Software Association, they are expected to file a lawsuit about this, because it's a First Amendment violation, and because they've done this in the Illinois one, so they're trying to shut this down before it happens. I don't think they're gonna win. But, you know, at least somebody's fighting for this. So.
You never know.
Yeah, I know. I just like to be nice and negative about stuff because I'm just that way. What else did we have in the news? Oh, this is fat shit here. Check this out. 10 Xbox 360 dev kits have been stolen. Holy fucking shit, okay? Pictures of the motherboard and all the internals of this thing are out on the internet, and I can't find them. Email them to me. I've got to see this shit, and I've looked and I can't find them now.
Microsoft
shutting them down. Yeah, they're
fast.
What do they say? Been removed upon request of Microsoft Corporation. Mm. That's okay. Because my email address, you can. I gotta see. I'm dying to know.
Someone's
what this thing
gotta
looks
have
like.
Them.
So 7 people still have them. What happened? 3 different places got raided, I guess, across Austria and Germany, and they've actually authorities have recovered 3 of the kits. there's still 7 of these Xbox 360 development kits out there. How exciting shit is this?
That's
okay,
so funny.
Motherfuckers are going to jail over this, I bet. But how crazy is this? This is a heist. Okay, they were shipped over from Hong Kong on whatever the fucking air delivery pallet is, but it wasn't even wrapped up to say it was an Xbox thing. It did not say like Microsoft fucking Xbox 360 dev kit, stay the fuck out.
Right.
This was like brown packaging. You're ordering like a bunch of dildos and porno to your house, and you don't want anybody to know kind of packaging, right? So you know.
Someone had to know.
Somebody had to know. So this is, I'm excited. This is the kind of news I dig. Like, I went ape shit when the Half-Life 2 source got stolen. I didn't sleep for a week. Literally. I stayed up, and that was, like, all I could do. I'd sleep, like, 3 hours a day. Wake up, and then, like, track the story online. I was so hooked into something like that. I don't know why. It was just exciting shit, you know? I think this is good stuff. So
it's like normal people in, like, the O.J. Simpson case.
That's exactly what it is. They're completely enthralled in it for no fucking good reason. And I can't get over stuff like this. I dig this because I'm betting that these have fallen into the hands of the people that are going to be responsible for the first chips for this thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's shipped out of Hong Kong. Okay? This is...
Oh, yeah.
Microsoft is pissed.
And there's nothing they can do. They can't change the hardware now.
Yeah.
No.
They're already in production, I thought. They're pumping them out. They have to be.
And even if they're not pumping them out, they already have the dev kits out.
Yeah,
they're already all being programmed.
This thing is done.
It's locked in. And so now these people are back engineering them to make the chips.
Tell me that does not make your dick hard just thinking about it. Seriously. Oh, my God. This is really exciting shit. I dig this. Please. God, I know somebody that we know has pictures of the motherboard and all the internals. I want to see this shit, okay? C4.GAMERADIO@gmail.com. Tries, gamer@HWHQ.com. Also, I gotta see this stuff. Please, for the love of God, do not post it on the forums, though. The last thing I need is Microsoft not being happy campers with us. Now.
Yeah, all of a sudden. Door.
They'd be knocking on the door. Uh-oh. Throw in the Nopix discs and turn the machines back on. Hold on 1 second. I'll be right with you. Activision and id Software have confirmed a new Wolfenstein title for the PC and for the Xbox 360. There is absolutely no other details that I can find other than that, though. But I'm still pretty excited because I had a blast playing the last one for the PC.
I could have sworn...
Return to Castle Wolfenstein.
...that I heard that Carmack decided that after Quake 4 he was retiring and going to the whole Rocket... deal.
I don't know if he's actually... No, this has got to be based on the Doom 3 engine, and it's probably going to be... They're probably going to hand it off to Raven, and he's not going to do anything with it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, he's probably out shooting rockets, you know, and all that crap anyway. So, whatever the case. And
right, so this doesn't... I was under the impression that mean id was dying, that they were going to close up shop.
I don't know. They had some crazy internal issues, too, with Carmack. Not John Carmack, Adrian Carmack, where I don't know if he works there anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, one of he owned a shitload of the company. Something happened. In any case, yeah, I don't know. I failed to get all the juicy details on that, but no, I can't see him quitting that. That's like some kind of like serious passion of his. You know, like okay, maybe he thinks he's tired of it and he'll get bored and he'll launch himself into space and not blow himself up somehow. Okay, but then he'll be back and he'll need something to do in the meantime. And he'll like sit around one day at his house, you know, and he'll you know. Unwashed.
His weird brain is just thinking code.
Yeah, just
he's like, all right, I gotta get it out!
Just dropping the Matrix code in his head all the time, and he's just... He'll hammer out some other game for us, I'm sure. We'll be playing something else. Doom 4, I hope. Speaking of more games from the gods that are id Software, Quake motherfucking 4 has gone gold.
I am one
happy little bitch. This will come out in 10 days. 10 days. Today's October 8th, so it's supposedly October 18th. Oh, boy. It's time to play some video games. I'm getting all kinds of excited, okay? And this is bad news for me because this comes out and I've got to, like, start packing my house to move and I'm going to be like, no!
You're going to have this unopened box of Quake 4.
Unopened. You're a funny guy.
Well, you have all these other games.
Yeah, but Quake is...
I can't get it out the store, even if it's something dumb.
It depends on the game for me, really. It really does. If it's something that I have, like, good interest in, it might not get open. If it's something I know I wanted, that's like I get home and, like, make love to the CD and rub it all over my body, and then I play it. I get all oiled up. Yeah. Now, we did have a lot of Nintendo DS games, which just feel like they're being overshadowed now by the news that Quake 4 has gone cold. I'm sorry. But... I do believe in his email, Mocker mentioned Resident Evil Deadly Silence or whatever the hell it was called. And this is not so exciting because it's a remake of the original Resident Evil, as my understanding goes. Which, to me, is like, okay, I've played this before. Back to the whole remake thing. You know, hey, for huge fans of the first game, and I wasn't, I don't really seem to care. But
I do not mind the remake thing, though.
Oh, I like it if they do it good. Right. It's a game I care about.
Right, and that's my point. I mean, there's people who really dig on this Resident Evil.
Right, yeah, exactly. People cannot wait, and they will not sleep until this game comes out. So, apparently they've added some new enemies and whatnot, you know, which is all good. They've got new puzzles for you to solve and kind of crap like that. Essentially, I don't know how they get off calling it a remake if it's that much different, but I imagine it's mostly the same layout of the place anyway.
Right.
With a lot of familiar things, like that scary time, that dog jumps out of the window, and I almost shit myself when I saw that. That was some good stuff. They did have some little cool things that they added, which I thought was neat, though. You know, like, you have the touchpad to solve some puzzles and whatnot, and you can use it to attack enemies by swinging your knife around. Because you walk around in rooms, and there's, like, encounters that you can't avoid. So you walk into a room, you get jumped by some zombies, and it, bam, first person view, and all you've got is your knife. And you've got to swing your little stylus around to slash up the zombie and stuff, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, that's you know, they got to use the touchscreen somehow, and at least they're using it.
No, see, I don't think so. I think that's a bad way to go. To say, we need to use the touchscreen somehow.
It probably is because, you know, we hear things like Mocker says, you know, it wasn't very good to draw on Castlevania, to draw the little symbol. However, at least, for the love of God, that they are putting forth some effort into using all these little cool things. I have to say, Nintendo has a pretty bad track record when it comes to using all their little add-on ideas and whatnot. Right. Rather than deviate from the standard.
If you come up with a good idea for the touchpad, which
means,
many
uses.
Games have,
right.
There's some very good uses for the touch thing. But if you're just going to throw something in because, oh, well, we gotta use the touchiness, that's a little
ridiculous.
That's
no good. But, I mean, okay, you've got it to fight with. You can use it to solve puzzles and whatnot. There may even be a way to use the microphone in this so far. Mm-hmm. They don't know yet. There is not details leaked. Capcom is being fairly tight-lipped about it. There's only a handful of screenshots that I've been able to come across. But one of the interesting things was, like, a four-player multiplayer game. Now, they didn't say if it was, like, a speed trial or a combat based or a cooperative game or even a, you know, death match. I don't know. There was no details on this, but, you know, hey, whatever. Four players is still pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom screen is going to have the gameplay. The top one has, like, your map, your ammo. Your hit points are determined by, you know, they don't have, like, a hit point meter in those games. They have, like, the colors of that bar or whatever.
Right.
But, like, you just kind of had to know you were dying. This one is the top screen, the background of it, behind all your shit, your inventory and whatnot, is going to change color.
Oh.
So the whole screen will change the deader you are, yeah. So which is pretty cool. That's a good idea, anyway.
That's an interesting... Yeah. And it's a way to have it without it taking up any real estate.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Damn. Good call.
Yeah.
That is really cool. So that's good stuff there. I like that. It sounds like a fun game, and you know what? I did not dig on the first Resident Evil too much, and it was not because it was a bad game. It was because timing dictated I did not have a chance to play it,
mm-hmm.
So somehow I only managed to see it a few times, and I wound up playing 2 and 3 a lot, though. So, you know, I missed the first one.
I can't stand them.
Really? I thought 3 was the shit. That one was awesome.
The first time, I can't see myself or the enemy I'm fighting, it's over.
Yeah, it pisses me off to no end. But you know what? Having nemesis chase you around, I dig that in those games. Where you're constantly reminded the enemy is a bad guy, and he does affect you. How many times you play a game? Like, oh boy. Even like Super Mario Brothers, how many times do you see Bowser in that? Once.
Yeah.
At the end of the game. You just kind of have to know that he stole the princess. You know, and that he's the guy that you want to fight. Instead, you wind up doing all these other levels, little mini-bosses, and a bunch of random crap. You know, there's
that are his minions.
You know, well, yeah, I know, but there's nothing that makes you think they're his minions so much, though.
Aside from their look a lot like him.
Some of the guys, like little mini-bosses, like in the Fortress Castles in Super Mario Bros. 3 reminded me of him. And, like, they had his kids, I guess. That was probably the best iteration of it. But I was never afraid of Bowser. You know, it was just enemy after enemy after enemy. Why don't you show Bowser and the other guy doing something, or have Bowser step in the middle of a fight with the other guy and try to thrash you once?
One of them, there were several iterations of Bowser. It was Mario 64. You had to fight him three times.
That was good deal there, right? You had to fight him three different times, and you were. But it didn't make me scared of him though. I just had to fight his dumb ass. I don't know what I'm.
Well, there's nothing scary about Mario. You're an Italian plumber.
Okay, you're right.
Fighting a turtle with spikes on his back.
Am I not the greatest at, like, the worst, like... Yeah, I can't do this for shit, like, on the spot. See, I didn't have plan out talking about this. I need notes for coming up with my good examples. I'm the worst at examples for stuff. But, like, I have played many a game where I don't even know what the point of fighting the end boss is.
Right,
and you just, you get there, and you're just like, wow, this is what I was fighting this whole time instead of all these other things, you know? They need to make it scary, and that's why Nemesis was fat, because he chases you throughout the game, you're cruising around, randomly get jumped by the dude, he scared the shit out of you. Mm-hmm. And when you have to fight him, it was like sweet justice when you finally blew him away. You know, it was just, I thought it made for a really great gameplay enhancement. It just really sucked me in. So I'm looking forward to that.
I get what you're saying.
Right. Advance Wars. Dual Strike. I'm going to call this Dual Suck.
What?
I am not at all excited about this game.
Why?
Okay. You know what? There's why? Okay. Because I can almost guarantee it suffers from the same problems, the same complaints I had with the original ones for the DS. I had Advance Wars 1 and 2, or from for the, not the DS, the Advance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a turn-based strategy game, very colorful. You know, it's like red team versus the blue team versus the yellow team and the green team.
Yeah.
Right. And they even give them catchy names. You have these little commander dudes that have special moves. Okay, that's cool. I like that.
Now you get two of them.
Now you can use two. Ooh. Working that whole dual angle there. Look at that. Right. You've got, it seemed like I turned off half the functions of that game when I played it, for one. I could not stand the music. I could not stand, like, the fight sequences. I couldn't handle them. You can only watch those fight sequences so many times before you turn them off, and you just show your little, you know, poorly pixelated tank roll up to another tank, and the numbers change on the tanks based on who won the fight, with no action and no explosions and whatnot. Great. It's fun multiplayer. I will give it that. You can still make your maps. You can make your own maps, which is cool. Okay, I'm digging on that. I'm digging on the four-player wireless multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm digging on the you can buy shit like in the store. You know, you earn points for all that. Okay, I'm digging that. However, how many multiplayer handheld games have I played? Now, this may be different for kids in school.
Kids in school have a good way to go about it.
Okay, in my world, the absolute last time I played a multiplayer portable game was when Wolf and I played some Zelda game. I can't even remember what the hell it was now. Was it the... What the hell did we play? Did we play Four Swords?
That was a cube game, though.
They had a DS what the hell did I play? It was something with Zelda in it, though. DS... Or goddamn, I keep saying it. It was like a Four Swords like mini game or something on some other game. What the hell? Oh, it was a Link to the Past remake on the SP Advance that had like those four or five levels for showing off Four Swords. That's what it was. We played that. Before that, I don't think I'd played anything since the original pea green
Tetris.
Game Boy. Right. I played I think it was Tetris a lot. You know? And that was it. So for me, the multiplayer in of it isn't there. The chance of it is not there. However, I love it when it happens. It is actually a blast to play this kind of crap, multiplayer. So if you like to play single player turn-based strategy games, I'm going to tell you right now that this is probably not what you want to play. And there's a reason for this. It seems like it's so scripted when you're playing that the game doesn't want you to play. And doesn't want you to fight. It wants you to figure out the exact combination of moves that it's going to take to win that map.
Right.
It doesn't feel...
I really liked Advance Wars, although I did like
How far did you get?
Well, maybe halfway.
See, I beat them both. The problem was, it didn't feel like I was playing them.
You obviously liked it enough to beat them.
No.
And then bite
it
the second
one. It was
always
on like my road trip, and I had nothing better to do. So, it was just like... Oh, no, I think I beat the first one, and I got... No, that's what happened. I beat the first one, and the second one I couldn't tolerate. I got, like, halfway through the second one. But, anyway, because it pissed me off. It was exactly like the first one, where it doesn't feel like you're playing it against the computer. It feels like it's... You're not playing against AI. You're playing against their script, it feels like. It is so bizarre how that game feels to play. I can't describe it. You'd have to play it for yourself and feel what it's like to play against something. It feels like they do the same shit. It just seems like all the time. And then you have to solve... their puzzle to beat that map. It doesn't feel like you can just beat it by overpowering them and being better, because they seem to, I don't know, it pissed me off.
Well, discovering what the strategy is to do it is.
But it seems like there's one strategy, it seems like. It's really a bizarre feeling when I play that game, and I don't get that when I do not have that same feeling when I'm playing, like, the same map over and over and over of, like Warcraft 3. Right. I can play Starcraft all day, the same map over and over and over, and I never feel like it was the same. And yet, I played the same map on Advance Wars twice, and I can tell you, like, that I fucked up in one move. Because I know what happened. Like you cannot get your units across the screen in a certain amount of moves. Therefore, I know that I have X amount of turns to get, you know, tank A to, you know, fight their tank B in X amount of moves, or they take over a facility and win automatically. Now, that's not to say that's the win point. I'm saying that it unbalances it so much that you have to do certain things to try to stop. And it's really kind of lame. I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because in any normal game, if they took over that factory, you know, and we're producing more units, you could still outplay them, you know? But you can't in this, it feels like. It's a bizarre feeling. I do not know how to explain it. It's strange, so I don't like it. But, yeah, you still have all your map creation and all that in Dual Strike. And you also have, like, an arcade mode, which gives you a real-time version of the game, which apparently doesn't play too well, I guess, from what I've heard. But it's still interesting. Guilty Gear Dust Strike. I'm all for the fighting games. This is a four-player fighting game that takes place over, like, two screens. Everybody knows the Guilty Gear series because they've been pumping out games left and right. And I believe they're trying to, like, take the crown while Capcom is down and Street Fighter has not had a really good, solid release in a long time or something, because they're pumping out these games. And they're great. They are a lot of fun, but they are no replacement for Street Fighter still. Like, mm-hmm. It's not like it's just that deeply entrenched in my heart and my hands. It is, but that does not mean that there's not room for good fighters, because I still like new fighting games, you know, and I find them just incredibly fun and everything. And okay. We want to talk about open-mindedness here. I have been talked into owning Dead or Alive 4 when it comes out.
Oh, yeah?
I do not have a choice now. And as much shit as I have talked about that entire series, as long as I've had it, I'm screwed, and I must now have it. So now I have to give it a shot, though. Another shot. Again. Okay.
All you do is fight, and you're not
going to... Watch the jigglies.
Yeah, you're so entrenched in the jigglies.
Maybe this is why women like
right.
this game. They know they can whoop dudes' asses. They're not playing. They're watching the physics of this game. Maybe that's what it is. They don't get distracted. Let's see. The new Super Mario Brothers game, and this is quite literally called New Super Mario Brothers. This is... what we were talking about before, using, like, 3D graphics,
right.
2D style, though. It looks absolutely freaking beautiful, and I cannot wait to play this game.
I don't know about the whole, you get super big and just can walk through the level.
I'm sure that's, like, some kind of mega bonus thing, though. That's like you're going to be able to do that every round.
Well, they were awful big on showing that off in the videos we watched.
Yeah, because it's kind of a cool feature, I thought. And it's like, wow, look how big our character can be on the screen. It maintains its frame rate. You know, you fight enemies that are like a whole screen in size, it seems like. I mean, they're gigantic. That's really cool. However, I did see a lot of stuff that didn't show any of that. There was plenty of just regular sized, you know, and Fire Mario and all that crap flying around. Right. You know, jumping on things, hitting coin boxes, bouncing off of Goombas and Koopas and stuff. Really cool stuff, though. It seemed like it maintains that gameplay and they're calling it New Super Mario Brothers. They've added a lot of stuff to this. You've got a wall jump.
Mm-hmm.
That creeps me out. Mario bouncing off of a wall like bam, 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 and he works his way like up like a chimney chute kind of, you know,
right.
thing, whatever. It worked really good for me in Mario 64. I dug on that. Okay, that was like the coolest thing in the world. 2D, it just looks funny, but they still do it, and I'm sure it's going to be really handy and really fun, too. Mm-hmm. You can even, like, dive on things, like, jump way high in the air. You can, like, spin down and crush enemies and drill holes in the blocks and stuff. It's really kind
of
cool.
It reminded me a lot of Mario 64 in a 2D side-scroller.
Right. This is a step in the right direction, my friend. You can swing off of vines and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is something I had never pictured Mario doing. That's reserved for Pitfall, Harry, and Sonic, okay? And yet, we've got Mario now. I mean, you know what he needs to do? He doesn't need to swing off of vines. I think they need to have little, like, picture like a plumber tube, like a pipe, like what are they, like piping, come mm-hmm. down and like have like a U-shape, and it goes off into a block or something, and then Mario can jump, hit a button, and he reaches out with like a wrench or something and swings off of that. Wouldn't that be cool? That would be very much
I know what he needs. A water jetpack.
Oh my god, that is such a good idea. Why did we not think of that before? So, yeah, I don't know. I think that this is going to be the must-have game of at least that month that it comes out. I don't know. I was looking right at the release date. I don't remember what it was. I thought I saw a release date for this game, and I do not know what it was. But there is so many good games coming out for this. You saw some crazy Kirby game.
This looked really cool to me. It's a lot like Yoshi Touch and Go, which is the one where you're riding on Yoshi and he's just kind of running forward and you have to draw like bridges and ramps and stuff. But Kirby is just a ball. It's called Kirby the Canvas Curse, and this curse that got put on him made him lose his limbs, so now he's just a pink ball. And
poor your, little bastard.
Yeah. And your job is he's rolling along, and you have to make ramps and stops so that he doesn't run into stuff and bridges and all kinds of stuff. And at first that might sound like it's not all that cool, but he's moving really fast, and so it takes a lot of talent to be able to pull off those draws
in
the time you need to do it in. And you'll need to get coins and things that'll be in very weird places, and you have to do all kinds of funky bridges and whatnot to get him there. And you get special moves, like you can tap on Kirby and it makes him jut forward. And the level design looked really cool, and the different way that they did the levels, and
even the mini games looked cool,
right?
Or the different play modes or whatever the hell it was.
They have a couple modes. The two that I was able to read were they have the normal the time dash, so you have to get through the mode through the level in a certain amount of time. But they also had line trial, which means you only had so much ink for your pen to draw those modes, lines.
That's
I thought
cool.
It was pretty cool looking.
That's even cooler because it adds a level of difficulty that you can't really do in a whole lot of games, and you couldn't do on any other system, really.
Right.
That is a really kind of cool.
I think it looks like it could be really awesome.
At first, I thought it looked pretty lame.
Well, it has kind of you're a pink ball, and the lines are rainbow.
There's a word for that.
Gay!
That's right. That's what it is. I remember now.
But, yeah.
Not that that's a bad thing. No. But as far as that game went, my whole foot fell.
The whole style is a little on the gay
side. It's a little cutesy, which isn't a bad thing at all, though. I'm sure it's a blast.
But the gameplay and
right,
all
that's
that kind
where
of
this
stuff
game is
going to
shine.
Cool.
That's exactly where this is going to shine. I'd like to play that. You know, kind of reminded me of that Super Monkey Ball, where you said he had no arms and no legs. You know, there's a new Super Monkey Ball from our friends at Sega coming out, too. And essentially, this winds up being the same Monkey Ball that you've seen before, you know, on the GameCube. You've got your little ball in that little, or your little monkey in that little ball. You roll around on the maze or the platform. You gotta race the timer to get through, and whatever little mini games they have for that.
Basically,
you know, don't
go labyrinth.
Yeah, but you use a touchscreen now to rock the thing back and forth. To you know, instead of the joystick, you know, or the analog stick, you get to use the touchscreen for your precision detail movements on your little labyrinth there to rotate it through, which is kind of neat. I mean, they even had a first-person shooter minigame for this, too, where, I don't know if it was a minigame or it was probably another mode of play, where you roll through the thing and you use the screen to, look left and right, I think, and then you tap on the screen where you want to shoot, which is kind of cool. Then they had some, two different variants of an air hockey game, and you drew your paddles and shit, to defend yourself. So, I don't know. That could be kind of fun.
Hmm.
I do know a lot of people like Super Monkey Ball. They are incredibly attached to it.
Yeah, it's a rather popular series.
Even Hunter got hooked on it, okay? Oh. And I do not see that guy playing something like Super Monkey Ball. I just don't see it. And yet...
Why a monkey?
Yeah, why not a hamster?
Yeah.
I don't know. That would have made incredible more sense. I don't know. Another game featuring balls, Metroid Prime. Not talking about Samus, that's a girl. Metroid Prime Pinball comes out on my birthday. Look at that, October 24th. Pinball game based on Metroid. You know, you get to fly around very Metroid-y looking boards.
Mm.
You know, they look very futuristic and all that. You got little Metroids drawn on it and all this crazy shit. But you get to do cool things like fight bosses and stuff still. You know, so you're out there hitting them with the ball. Kind of, it reminds me of that Sonic, Sonic Super Spinball kind of stuff.
Okay.
That was actually kind of fun. It's Sonic Spinball. Maybe that was it. That was a lot of fun. So it's Christmas coming up for people. They need to be looking into stuff like this. Lots and lots of fun for the DS here. I get more and more excited as I look over the game list You know, it's like my gamer side. Really, it's cool, just like, dude, there's some fat stuff coming out for the DS. But then on the other hand, you know, I've got that whole techie side of me that likes fucking with stuff. You know, and I'm like, oh man, but the PSP, I could learn how, you know, that works and this works and do this to it and make it do that.
As well as having like a cool MP3 player that it all that plays like.
Oh no, that's TV. What iPods are for. Chirp, chirp. Chirp, chirp.
No, that thing is cool, having like a portable media center.
Hell yeah.
That'd be awesome. Be able to watch some TV or movies or something.
Like those little creative Zen things or whatever they are. You seen those? It's like it's basically an iPod with a screen, and you can watch movies on it, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
It's made by Creative, though, so I will not pay them any money. So, yeah. But I've seen it. The idea seems decent, but yeah, to hell with that. That's what the PSP is for. I would rather pay Sony than Creative. Ooh, that's pretty bad. Yeah. Creative, you know you have fallen far now. That's pretty low. There's a new Mario and Luigi game, too. The sequel to Superstar Saga, Mario and Luigi Partners in Time.
Which was actually really cool. I enjoyed the gameplay of that.
I did not. This comes out November 28th. I never played it, is what I meant.
Right.
What the hell is it?
Well, you have, like on the original one, there was just the two buttons. And one caused Mario to jump, and one caused Luigi to jump.
Really?
And then you also had the triggers, which changed what special move they were going to do, because they could do it together. Like, if you switched the if you'd had a Luigi do a special move where he would crouch down, and then have Mario jump onto his head, and then they'd, like, spin around and do all kinds of weird stuff, that depended on what kind of special move you had equipped. And then it was like part action, part RPG.
Yeah.
And you'd go into the RPG battles and have to like, you could jump and dodge the attacks from the enemies. And then like jump and then like double jump on like heads and do different stuff.
That's
like that.
It was pretty cool.
They actually did a really good job with the gameplay of that game.
Okay. And it took place in present time the whole time, right? Like you never went back in the past or anything on it?
No.
Okay. Because that's the whole shtick of this one right here. It's called Partners in Time. And, yeah, isn't that great? I wonder how much they paid somebody to come up with that. This was, yeah, so I, you know, and of course, they travel back in time, and naturally they're rescuing Peach. Okay, what would Mario game be without that? Oh, some kind of a sports title, probably. Now, they have, you actually get to meet yourself. Like, you're playing along as Mario, and bam, you run into baby Mario, and baby Luigi, and baby Peach, and even little baby Bowser.
Aww.
Oh, how cute. Yeah, so, you know, that's pretty cool, though, because those characters have been in a lot of recent, you know, Nintendo games, so it's nice to see they're making it into, like, the other games, too.
Right.
That's good to see. And it looks like, from what I've been able to tell, like, I like to talk about the screen layout for these games for some reason. The map of the place that you're in is on the top screen, while the action takes place on the bottom screen, and I do not know how the touchscreen is going to go into this.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what they're going to do for this yet, because, lo and behold, Nintendo's website doesn't tell you a goddamned thing about the games.
Really?
Yeah. Look at Metroid Prime Pinball. Pinball game based on Metroid. Fight bosses. Alright, thanks for the details.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that I cannot fathom why their site sucks so much. I know. That's what I meant. Not Nintendo's. I meant theirs.
Yeah, yeah.
All of the sites.
Official sites are useless even after they get released.
I don't understand that either. It's like they just don't want to put any effort into it. Hire some people. Hey, IGN
they don't
is hiring,
say
by
anything
the way.
Bad.
I stumbled across that the other day somewhere.
Yeah.
You want to move to San Francisco and work for IGN? They need some very creative writers with a winning attitude and love for all consoles. That's what it said. I swear to God.
I know. I
you, you read that? Yeah. Yeah. That's,
yeah, well, I'm out.
Yeah, okay. Count me out of that one. Plus, I'm not moving to San Francisco. So,
why do you have to live in San Francisco
that's what
to
I'm
work for a website?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't understand that either. They probably make you come into the office and sit there and play games. I don't understand that at all. I play better alone anyway. Turn the phones off, turn the lights out,
although
get a bag of chips and some
an
soda.
An office like that would be pretty cool.
But not with those guys. An office like that would be dope, but not with those guys. I'm sorry,
yeah.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I'd see like a bunch of people running around, like hopped up on Prozac and Paxil and stuff. I couldn't do it. This is really exciting stuff. There is some crazy shit coming out for the DS. This Trauma Center game.
Yeah, this is okay. First of all, for the story, they basically took a bad General Hospital plot in Japanese.
Oh, my goodness.
And then translated it into English.
Whoa.
So the story of this is probably going to be a little on the bizarre and not-so-cool side.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. It's bad soap opera, from Japan, then translated. But the gameplay, basically, you go from hospital to hospital, and people come in, and you have to operate on them. Did we say the name of this?
Oh, Trauma Center Under the Knife.
Trauma Center Under the Knife. And then the gameplay is an operating room where you're in front of this guy that's, like, splayed open, and he's got, like, a tumor, or he's got heart problems, or whatever it happens to be, and you have, like, 10 moves,
like techniques?
Yeah, like using a scalpel, or drain, like they stick the hose
all
in
this,
there.
Like, all this crazy, like, medical stuff that you would actually have becomes, like, a technique, like an ability or something?
Right.
Gotcha.
And then you use that when you need to in order to save his life.
You can play doctor.
Right. And they you also have a special ability called Healing Touch, which actually is kind of like bullet time.
Nice.
It doesn't actually change like how fast you move or anything. It just slows down the time.
Right.
It's basically what it does.
Right.
And it actually looks like it could be pretty cool.
But I am waiting for the day that a game allows me to create bullet time.
There you go.
Me. It makes me faster. That's what I'm waiting for. One day.
Yeah?
It's gonna happen.
Like, make you literally...
The way that you said that, though, you said it doesn't make you faster.
Oh.
You said it makes the time slow down. I want a game that makes me physically really faster.
I meant your movement.
Oh, right. Like but you're using the stylus.
Right.
That's you. That's crowbar.
No. I mean, just the time clocks down faster.
Right,
slower.
Right. I got it. I'm following.
Right.
Now, there was a couple other games that we had since seeing as how we're out of time, but I'm too excited because it's just like, dude, this DS kicks ass. There's too many cool games for this. You cannot overlook this if you're looking for, you know, a console that's, you know, fairly cheap and has a lot of games. The thing's $130 now.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, don't overlook Nintendogs, for one. Okay, that is an incredibly cute game. It's just, I can't help myself but want to pet those little doggies.
I don't know if I'll be playing it, but...
You know you will. You don't have a choice. And then curiosity will get you.
I don't have a choice for it being in my house.
Right, but curiosity will get you. I know this. Also, I was told by somebody on IRC, do not get all the carts. I guess you can unlock all the other dogs, I guess. Hmm. The dogs that you see on the cover, I guess, are the starting dogs, I guess?
Yeah.
In any case, also, Xenosaga 1 and 2, right? These were redone.
It was
we talked
one
about
game.
That. Yeah.
I was not aware of that. I was.
I thought it was two different carts.
I was expecting two different carts.
Right. Apparently they shoehorned the two biggest goddamn PlayStation 2 games you've ever seen into one DS cart somehow. But they trimmed everything out, though. You're using sprites for everything. You've got these still frame, you know, anime instead of the full motion video stuff there, or whatever the hell they had the red,
oh,
the cinematic. It looked still frame. Yeah. So, like, you were just seeing, like, the picture spread across two different screens. Mm. So, yeah, I don't know how hot this is anymore. I need to see video on this or something before
more
I can
video.
Really... Yeah, some. Well, the video we saw was really janky anyway, so I'm not going to say too much good or bad about it. But I like the idea because that was one hell of an RPG.
Especially if you have two of them.
Rich, yeah, God. Here's, you know, $30 for this game and you got, like, 100 hours of game ahead of you. And that's pretty fat. There's a new Animal Crossing game called Wild World coming out also, and I did not dig on Animal Crossing, but
no,
many people did.
For those that did, I think a DS is a good choice
the
for
perfect them. Thing for that. Dude, you could tote that shit with you.
Yeah.
You know? And of course, the Final Fantasy 3-6 we mentioned earlier, it just happened to make it in my notes at a later date. So, we hope you've learned something about the DS today, because we certainly did. I did not know there was this many cool games coming out and out for this thing now, and Castlevania is dope. That is probably a must-buy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm done.
I'm done, too.